Number six.
Let's do nine.
I'm gonna go to nine, okay. All right, that would be case number 22-911. Okay, would you please identify yourself, state your agency?
Sergeant Michael Giordano with Torrington Police Department.
Okay, opening statement.
Sure, the last name is G-I-O-R, D as in Delta, A, N as in Nancy, O.
Gotcha, thank you.
Okay, brief opening statement, please.
The appellant reapplied for a permit the appellant previously had a permit that was seized and returned for suitability reasons at the time. She reapplied, I apologize, I don't have the exact date of when she reapplied, but was again denied for suitability based on a lack of disclosure of being subject to a restraining order within 5 years of the application. Within 5 years of the application process, and also due to hospitalization, meaning a protective custody, due to opioid abuse while carrying two loaded firearms.
Thank you. Would you like to make a brief opening statement?
I do acknowledge that I've made many mistakes in my life.
Okay, keep your voice up, please.
I know 3 years since this process is a short period of time, but the amount of growth and where my life is now is nowhere where I was back then.
Okay, thank you. You may proceed.
The incident that got us to the point of, I'll give you the date, was 3/16 of 2020, where there were two separate calls for this case. One was a passerby that said they located or saw a female unconscious in a motor vehicle. Unsure what was going on, contacted police and medical personnel for a response. Later on in the day, we actually had a separate well-being check call from the appellant's friend out of state in Alabama. That party did provide all of their personal information when they did report this incident, where, I don't know if this is hearsay, so I apologize, and you guys can correct me if it is. The complainant in the well-being check was reportedly told by the appellant that her intention was to intentionally overdose in the Rite Aid parking lot. She was located in the Rite Aid parking lot overdosing. Again, two separate cases. Narcan had to be used in order to bring the appellant back. The entire time, the appellant denied ever using it, went as far as in the police report to say that she believed she was overdosed by someone else, that someone else injected her with heroin, even though a needle and stuff was found inside the vehicle and she was alone.
I'm sorry, Detective, to interrupt. You said you had complained someone passed out in the car.
Yep, that was the initial call.
Oh, so this is the same, you said there's two separate, I'm just ensuring this is the same call though, correct?
So it ends up being the same
call for service.
It just happens to be.
You had two complaints.
But different times.
Okay.
So.
Separated by how much time?
Same day, separated by a couple of hours.
Okay.
So what it was is that passerby reports the passed out female in the vehicle. A couple hours later, we receive a call from the appellant's friend out of state. Says, hey, can you guys check the area for this car, this person? I'm trying to find her. I haven't heard from her all day. She told me she was going to intentionally overdose to kill herself in the vehicle. Back to where our guys are with her, medical personnel, brought back by Narcan, is transported to the hospital, refused to tell the hospital anything of what occurred, refused to tell what was ingested, so they didn't know how to proceed. And then security located two loaded handguns, both fully loaded in the chamber, that were in the appellant's purse.
Hospital security.
Hospital security found it and then turned them over to us. Along with the application on the newer application once the permit and handguns were seized prior after this incident. The appellant was notified by the Records Division, who conducts the checks on the application process, and appellant checked off on the application that they were subject to protective slash restraining orders, but as the protected party, when in fact that was not the case. She was listed as the respondent. When asked about that, she said she did not wish to update the application and did not want to amend it, even though I have the NCIC printouts for showing that she was the respondent. There are other arrests that lead to the use of narcotics. A stolen purse from her mother that she was arrested for. Even though, and the reason that that is included in this packet is because the appellant has maintained that she was not using drugs, somebody else had to have injected her, it was not her doing this, yet the other arrest is supporting her behavior of using narcotics.
Would you like to cross-examine him?
Were you aware that the person who called you from Alabama was the mother of the person who was with me? He wasn't allowed to be with me, so he called his mother to call.
According to the report, yes. I also saw that he was identified as being in the area, and because they were both subject to protective orders and were not supposed to be together, he didn't want to get in trouble. So he also flagged someone down and said, hey, there's someone passed out in that vehicle. That was our other initial caller. So he saw her passed out or knew or was with her, both using drugs, and then said, flagged somebody down to get help so that he didn't get in trouble additionally.
And after I left the hospital that night, you were aware that I came to the police station with my father and made a report about him overdosing me, him injecting me.
Yeah, I read that in the reports. Again, I was not the one investigating it. I did read that in the reports that that was your claim, but there was never any charges or anything brought against him.
But I did make the police report about it.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions? Okay. Questions by the board?
Did the appellant have a pistol permit at that time?
Yes, she did.
I'm assuming it was revoked based on...
Correct. As far as I don't know if there was ever a hearing or anything. I know it was returned back, and there's documentation in here about, I believe at the time he's retired now, Detective Arbor from the CSP Weapons Unit was contacted regarding it, and the permit and two firearms were seized.
Anyone else?
Were there any arrests based on, was the appellant arrested based on that incident?
Do not believe she was arrested based on the during the overdose. No. I think they treated it under that the overdose aspect of it, where no charges were filed.
And you testified that she actually had at least one protective order at the time she applied.
Correct.
Was that based on a domestic violence arrest or?
There was a domestic violence arrest. I apologize here, I have to grab it. I believe it was a breach of peace incident that there was no disposition according to our records. It doesn't show records, it was never notified by the court of what the disposition was. Yeah.
But she was the...
She was the subject, not and, the, yeah, yeah the yeah. respondent.
And is it also accurate to say that she was also a protected party in multiple, or at least let me say one, according, I'll let you answer.
According to her application, it said that she is subject to many protective orders and or restraining orders as the victim, but also, like I said, refused to disclose the protective order where she was the respondent. Yep.
Any other questions?
And yes, there was. This is the FVO arrest.
Yeah.
What was the person who was with her charged with violating protective order?
I don't believe they were able to positively identify him as being there. Because he was never a caller, he was never located there, he was never seen there. I do not believe he was charged in that one.
All right. And was she, oh, no, I guess it doesn't matter. Never mind. Thanks.
Okay, your turn to tell us what you'd like us to know.
All right, so I know that 3 years is a short period of time, but in those 3 years, a lot has changed. I've grown so much. I'm currently halfway through my master's program at Goodman University and getting my degree in educational leadership. I continue to work at a child care facility. I'm a preschool teacher. Right now, I'm currently the leader in getting us to go through state and federal accreditation. I'm a leader in my church. I go to the First Pentecostal Church in Torrington. I'm a Sunday school teacher. I help with our fundraising. I assist in the women's ministries, and I lead all of our fellowship opportunities. Every Sunday night, I serve dinner at the local soup kitchen. And the only run-in I've had with police in these last years is when I'm actually calling from the soup kitchen to have somebody come and help. I do all this while I move back home, moved out of that situation, and I am there to help and assist my parents who are aging and getting a little bit sicker and need more help around the house.
Excuse me, what town do you live in now?
Torrington.
Still, so you moved into Torrington?
Yes, I moved back home. I was in a very, it was a horrible relationship that lasted for about 15 years. They were turned in there, he was an addict as well. Unfortunately, I did turn to drugs with him. I did not inject it on my own, I will state that. He really wanted me to do it, and I did not want a needle, but somehow that incident happened anyways. I will admit I did do drugs with him. I've been clean over 3 years. I work program, I go to NA meetings online, I read, I'm very spiritual with my Bible. A lot has changed, and I therefore, I'm not that person. And unfortunately, that situation, and I did not mean to kill myself that day. That was never an intention. It was his mother who actually called. I mean, because he called her because he wasn't allowed to be there. That's what I mean.
Cross-examination.
So, if he was had been with you during the incident when you overdosed, and then he did flag someone down to report it to get you help, right? Why would he have his mother call several hours later to conduct a well-being check of you, knowing that he would have been in the area to see you already get help?
Because she wanted to check in, from what I heard, to see where I was. I was not out of the hospital yet. I was not answering my phone. My purse was taken. My mom and dad were at the hospital with me. My cell phone wasn't with me. I was not responding to messages. And his way, when I was not responding to him, would be to get his mother to contact me.
But it doesn't make sense that she would contact you or contact the police looking for a well-being check and having that detailed information about what was going on and what drugs you were using and things like that and what statements you had made to her.
But if she was in Alabama, she obviously got that information from her son who was with me.
Or from the phone conversation she said she had with you.
But I was at the hospital.
No, the phone conversation was prior. When you told her of your intention of what you were going to do while in possession of two loaded firearms.
There was no intention to kill myself at all. I do not recall or ever have had that conversation with her.
Did you think that it was reasonable and appropriate to be carrying two loaded handguns in your purse while using heroin?
I did not plan on using heroin that day.
But you were a user of heroin at the time?
Not at that moment, no. And to be blunt and honest, I would smoke crack with him. That's where it was. His drug of choice was both. He wanted me to feel how he felt when I didn't give him money to purchase it. I was the one with the job. I was the one that had a car. I was the one that supported his addiction, and he wanted me to feel that. I mean, you've been in Torrington a lot. You have known about my and his relationship, of all the things that have happened.
But again, if you're a known user, you know that you, I didn't know about the crack cocaine usage, but did you feel it was an appropriate or reasonable decision to be carrying loaded firearms with two drug users in a vehicle?
It was safer in my head, and honestly, to have my weapons on me because my purse always stayed on me. It was never around him.
You guys were dating and in a vehicle together and things like that, so it's not away from him. It's two loaded firearms with, I believe, I can't speak to it, but I would assume someone ineligible to possess firearms, meaning him, given his arrest history and things I'm knowledge or know about with him through my experience at work, that you're keeping firearms around a person that is not allowed to be around firearms.
I thought it was safer to have them on my purse and on me at all times.
That's all I have.
Comments by
the
board?
Do you understand that you were not allowed to have firearms? That that's a crime if you're a drug user?
I did not. At that point, it was just starting. I was not into an active addiction at that point.
Well, you were doing crack cocaine.
Yes, occasionally.
Okay, tell me the first time you did crack cocaine.
I can't tell you the exact date.
I'm not asking the exact date. Was it a week before that, or was it 10 years before that?
Probably about a month before that.
Okay, and how much crack cocaine were you doing?
We would do it a little bit at night on the weekend. I would.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't do it during the week.
And when was the first time you did heroin?
It was one night at my house, and he asked me to. Like I said, it was a really bad relationship, and it's very well known in the town that it was very violent and controlling, and
okay.
I got myself into a bad spot.
Right, but the decision to use crack cocaine, to use heroin while possessing the handguns was your decision?
Yes and no. It was my decision at all points because I cannot put the blame on another person. But the situation I was living in or around with the control of the violence, he always had one up on me. It was like, hey, if you don't do this, I'm going to do this. I mean, I also did press charges, got him incarcerated, cut contact with him out of my life. He is actually deceased now, I heard. That is 4 years ago out of my way from my life. I know it's a short period of time, but the changes that I've made.
Tell us about the changes. Tell us about the treatment you have received for the addiction.
Well, in addition to the addiction, I also worked with Susan B. Anthony for domestic violence. I got some therapy there. I also did some individual counseling. For the addiction, I do go to NA, and when I can't go to one in person, there's always meetings online. At all points.
Do you have any documentation medical from either the hospital when you were sent there or from any treating psychiatrist, social worker, psychologist, anything like that?
And I was only sent to the hospital once.
I understand. But we asked for, when that happened, especially an emergency committal, that you supply the information.
And I wasn't committed. I was put there because I overdosed and I was released.
Yeah, I don't know. Did they do a peer form or no for this? Was she sent as an emergency committal, or was she just sent as
protective custody? Yes.
Yeah. So you were sent involuntarily.
Yeah, I was overdosed in my car. They found me, and I went to the hospital, and I was released to my mom within just a couple hours.
All right.
After I talked to them.
How many times have you carried a handgun while using drugs?
I know that time for sure, but for the most part, there was a lockbox in my house. There was
okay,
one in
when
my
you
car.
Say for the most part, I'd like to know about the times the other part.
I mean, because I've had my weapons, I've turned my weapons over to my dad in the past. So
because your permit was revoked.
Yes. So after that, that's when my addiction really started. The weapons went away at the very beginning.
Okay.
Nothing else.
I applaud that. It seems like you're on the right path, and that's great. You testified that you felt it was safer for you to have your firearm on you than somewhere else. And you realize where did those firearms end up?
They were in my purse.
Yep.
And my purse got taken with me in the ambulance.
Yep. Who ultimately found the handguns?
The security at the hospital, I believe, when they were checking my property.
Okay, so were you conscious? You had passed out.
Yes, because I asked where my purse was because I wanted to give it to my mother.
Yeah. So you realize you completely lost track of two firearms during this incident.
Yes.
Very dangerous to ambulance personnel, security personnel, hospital personnel. That's concerning.
Anybody else? Okay. You're allowed a brief closing statement if you'd like.
I think I've said.
Okay, thank you. Closing?
I do commend her efforts and change of her life. I think that's a good thing, but I just don't see it as being currently a reasonable person to be issued a permit or the ability to purchase or possess firearms at this time.
Comments by the board?
Just echo what I said before, that you know, commend the appellant for how far she's come. It's very short. A, it's a pretty serious incident. B, it's a very short time span. That's how I sort of look at things now.
Yeah, I was struck reading the file and ending up with all the wonderful things you're doing for community service and young children and schools. And I have a note to myself that says, which person are we talking about? And it's exactly what you said. You know, you've changed a lot from that very difficult time in your life. But the conduct during that difficult time kind of leads you to believe that, well, you know, we routinely turn down people for renewal of a permit when they do something that involves a use of their firearm that's unsafe for the community. And leaving two guns in your purse while you're incapacitated completely is not the kind of responsible conduct that we want to encourage. So also, your prior life, all these incidents seem to happen 4 years ago. I think if we don't see fit to give you your permit back at this point, if you reapply in 4 years or more time has passed and you keep up the good path that you're on, I think we might have a totally different approach to this. So thank you for what you're doing. Any other comments? Okay, so we'll vote. Chief Rosenzweig.
Issuing authority.
Ms. Johnson.
Issuing authority.
Colonel Overturf.
Issuing authority.
Mr. Gray.
Issuing authority.
And chair votes issuing authority at this time. Thank you. Good luck to you.
Yep.